Holy Spirit. And this morning, our worship will be centered on one of the most ancient and unifying statements of Christian belief, the Apostles' Creed. For some churches, they never say it at all. For others, they say it every week. And the reason is, why? Why do they say it? Because that is a statement of faith that helps us know what we believe in a succinct way that a skeptical world cannot deny. And so, let us remind ourselves of who we are, whose we are, and the mission we share as God's people today. I welcome you. I'm glad you are here. So, let us open with prayer. Let's pray. Gracious and almighty God, as we come together as one body, united in faith, that is handed down through the generations of faith we proclaim in the words of the Apostles' Creed, Lord, as we speak these ancient words and living words, remind us that they are not mere statements, but a heartbeat of belief, a testimony of who we are and what you have done, and what you promise still to do. Let the words of the Creed not only be spoken from our lips, but be lived in our actions, so that the world may see that there is a God. We pray all this in Christ Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Our announcements are printed in the bulletin, just to bring a few of them to your attention. There is UMW tomorrow at 9:30 in the basement. Where's the link, right? Okay, so 9:30 tomorrow. We have Food Pantry Sunday next Sunday, which is Communion Sunday. So bring your non-perishable items, and we'll share that with the food pantry. Couple of things. On June 20th, from 11 to 1 p.m. over at Decatur, there is a Riverfront Day food booth. And so if you have nothing going on that Saturday, come on over. There's a parade and other activities, and we'll be having a food booth that will help support the church in Decatur. I will also be on vacation on June 22nd through the 28th. And so we will be out of town, and Pastor Rex is going to be the one who is going to be doing the pastoral care. And on the 28th, there is the community town celebration, community service over at the park. So we won't have a service here. It will be at the park. I might be back for that. I'm not sure just yet. But that will be happening at the end of this month. So any other announcements that need to be brought to our attention at this time?
In the East Entrance, there's some free can of tubers.
Okay.
For anybody that wants them.
Okay, and tell me what that is.
Cannas, they grow tall.
Okay.
It's mostly leaf.
Oh, okay. Is it edible or?
No, it's a flower.
I thought so, but I just want to make sure. So anyone who wants canna tubers, they are back there, you'll see a box. So, thank you, Linda. So, there is over at the parsonage chives that are ready to be harvested. So, if anyone wants to go over to the over by the garage, you'll see a bunch of chives. So, if you want to take some, please be my guest. So that's our announcements. The birthdays, we have Al and Sherry on the 1st, which is tomorrow. Jared on the 3rd, Mock on the 4th, and Kathy McGill on the 6th. And so for all of these, we say happy birthday. Are there any anniversaries that need to be brought up at this time? Any anniversaries or birthdays I might have missed? So, okay. If you're able, would you please rise and let us say responsibly the call to worship. Wonderful God, we gather today to celebrate your presence in the lives of your faithful people.
Send your Spirit to meet us here and guide us into your depths, that we may begin to glimpse your grace.
With what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceive, all you have prepared for those who love you.
We pray this in the name of Jesus, your mystery, your wisdom, your glory.
Amen. So please remain standing, and we're going to sing together our opening hymn, page 2158, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, 2158, or up here on the screen. Thank you. listed in the bulletins. We have Haley Deemer, Bob Paul, Rose Johnson, Barb Ray, Cindy Dahl, Janet Gordon, Joellen Davis, Susan Sanders, Kim, daughter of Pat Crabb, Finley Smith, Lois Weatherly, Lori Titus, Nathaniel, grandson of Mary Robertson, Titus Elliott, Rob Robson, Roberta Hamill, Richard. Bob is home, so he's no longer in the hospital, so praise God about that. He still has a little road ahead of him. Where's Don? There. So
thank you for all your prayers and thoughts. We really appreciate it. He's coming along. It's a little bit slower, but he's coming along.
Okay. Praying for both of you. So
if anybody wants to come visit us, come on over.
So for all these, we lift our prayers. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Those who are living and who are homebound, assisted living in our care center, Mary, Donna, Irene, Yvonne, Bob, Van, Carol, Donna, Joan, Susan, and Gerald. Lord, in your mercy. We do lift up our persecuted Christian nation. For the month is Afghanistan. It will switch next month. But for all those who are facing persecution, our President Donald Trump, Congress Mike Flood, Don Bacon, Adrian Smith, our Senators Deb Fischer and Pete Ricketts, Nebraska Governor Jim Peelan, District 16 State Senator Ben Hansen, our Great Plains UMC Bishop David Wilson, who I learned that this is his fourth year, his fourth annual conference, and hard to believe how fast that time has went, but for the annual conference that we just got done, and also our District Superintendent Stephanie Alschweed, Tecumseh Mayor Jane Walford, Decatur Village Governance, End of the Wars All Over the Globe, Cartel Violence in Mexico, The Need for Rain. I guess thank God again for the rain that we had this last week as well. I'm sure we need more, but we just continue to thank God for that. Farmers during planting season, the lost, the lonely, and the oppressed, and of course, Stephen Moore and the family. Are there any other prayer concerns that we can live before the Lord here today? My son Christopher is with us today, so he came down for my nephew's graduation party that took place yesterday. So literally I got back from annual conference, went to the party, and then went to bed. So it was a very busy day yesterday, but it's good to have him down. He leaves, unfortunately, after church, but it's good to have him down. So. Okay, so let us go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Gracious and almighty God, we come before you today as one body, united in the faith that we have just confessed in the Apostles' Creed. These are not mere words, Lord, they are the heartbeat of belief, a declaration of who you are, what you have done, and the hope we hold in you. And we believe in you, God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You are the source of life, the one who spoke creation into being, and we thank you for the of the world around us, for the rain that we have received, and for all the ways that you sustain us. Teach us to live as faithful stewards of your creation and to trust in your sovereign care, even when the path ahead is uncertain. Lord Jesus, you are our Savior and our Redeemer. You have conquered sin and death, and you invite us to a new life. Help us to follow you with courage and to love you as you loved us, and to serve others as you have served. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, the Spirit who breathes into us the fresh faith, deep wisdom, and holy boldness. Unite us as the church, one holy, universal, apostolic church across nation, languages, and generations. Strengthen us to be the gospel in both word and deed. And Lord, as we lift before you the need of the congregation, of our community, and our world, for those who are sick, bring healing, for those who are grieving, comfort, for those who are weary, rest, for those who are searching, may your light light the path for truth. We pray for leaders in the church and in the world that they may act with justice, mercy, and humility. And we pray for peace where there is conflict, for provision where there is need, and hope where there is despair. Father, we offer to you all the prayers that were spoken and not spoken in the name of Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray in one voice, the prayer that Jesus taught his early disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. If I could have the usher come forth for the morning offering, if you would please stand and let us sing together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Partnering with you each and every day in the work of ministry. We know that you bless our efforts and contributions for the proclamation of the gospel and for building up your church. Father, be pleased with the tithes and offerings that we give here today. Affirm your love, grace, and provision for each giver in the midst, and thank you for their hearts for ministry. Let them continue to give with cheerfulness and fully trust that you will never fail them, even in their time of need. I pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. And we do come to our time of lifting up the Word of God. Today, our scripture lesson comes to us from not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. 1 John 4, 7 through 13. And we read, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love, does not know God, for God is love. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I want to thank everyone for their prayers for this last week as I went to the annual conference. I'll have a report coming up here next couple of weeks about what all took place during that time. But for me, one of the things I really enjoy about going to annual conference, not the meetings, I mean, the meetings I could do without, but the thing I really enjoy is it's almost like a family reunion. I see people I haven't seen it since last year, and so I'd like to introduce you to Jeremy Alessi. Jeremy Alessi was, he was a parishioner at my last church, and today he's actually serving in ministry at two churches. When I moved to Pleasant Valley, he was one of the first people that I met, and he told me, "Boy, we got a lot in common." And I was like, "Oh, really? What do we have in common?" And he's a pastor's son, and I'm a pastor's son, He loves doing ministry work, meeting with people, and I love doing ministry work. He loves prison ministry, and I just started prison ministry when I was at Garden City, and I love prison ministry. It was really awesome. It was really eerie how we had all sorts of things in common. He has three daughters. I have two boys, but my youngest boy, Christopher, at one time was dating his oldest daughter, and so we were, that was a very, very interesting. It didn't work out, but we had that in common, and he loves the Philadelphia Eagles, and I love watching them lose. So, especially when my Minnesota Vikings are playing. But one of the things that you have to understand about us is that we are very competitive. We are very competitive. We play games, and we want to be the winner. We want to have the bragging rights. Well, at the hotel that we were staying at, wouldn't you know that they had games galore, that they had arcade, they had pool table, they had bumper bowling, all sorts of stuff. And so we were like in seventh heaven after the conference was done for the night. What did we do? We were down there playing games. And this one particular night, everything went wrong for me. Everything went wrong for me. We started playing pool, four games, and who knew if you hit the black, the eight ball in the pocket before the other ones, you lose. And so, four games I lost. I was disheartened. I mean, I could have beat them, but I didn't. And so, we had foosball with the little figures that kick the ball into the goals. And so we played four games, and I lost every single game. In fact, there was one I didn't even score a single point. And so I'm getting a little, you know, here I am. We're very competitive, and I can't even win a game. And so I saw Rock'em Sock'em Robot. Anyone ever play Rock'em Sock'em Robot? It was there, and so it's basically two robots that hit each other, and the head that pops off loses. Well, I grabbed it and we were going to play it. Little did I know it was broken, but I chose the side that was broken. And so I lost that. And so by the time all was done, Jeremy looked at me and he knew that, you know, I was a little discouraged. And I said, I can't lose anymore. And so I was like, I'm going to go upstairs. And so right before I was ready to leave, Jeremy, like I said, got a lot in common. He puts his foot in his mouth many times, as well as I do. He says to a group of people who were there with us, they were playing games too, next to us, but he says to everyone in the room, hey, who wants to take on my boy in arm wrestling? And so I was like, what? Where did that come from? But you know me, I'm competitive, so I'm not going to turn down. That is until I saw the kid that I was going to arm wrestle. I thought he was in college. He had a W on his shirt, and I thought he was the Wisconsin Badgers. He wasn't. He was actually from Omaha West Side, and they were there because they were competing in the state golf tournament. And so little did we know this. And so I thought, okay, he's a minor. Maybe I can get out of this. I got it. Okay, we need your parent to approve this. His parent happened to hear that and walk by and says, oh, yeah, you can do it. Go ahead. And so I just can't win, it seems like. But I do want to bring up an important fact is that what we believe changes everything. What we believe changes everything. I was so sick of losing. I was like, I am not going to lose. And I didn't. We arm wrestled once, twice, three times. I even used my weak arm at two of them. And we won. And the young man was named Marco. And I thank Marco because that boosted my spirit by everything because I was defeated in so much. But my friend Jeremy, he's a one-of-a-kind guy. And sure enough, he opened the door for that. So, like I said, what we believe changes everything. Now, don't get me wrong. We can believe all we want that we're going to win the national championship. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. But I will guarantee you, if you don't believe you're going to win, you won't win. And so what we believe changes everything. It changes everything. And so, I bring that up because today we're starting a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is so important to us. Why? Well, I got two reasons. Number one, it's the oldest and most widely accepted creed in the entire world. It was written around 120 AD, and almost 2,000 years ago. And it has become a succinct statement of faith that people from all different churches, denominations have said throughout the years. Secondly, the Apostles' Creed offers a radical challenge to a skeptical world. I think this is more important because we live in a world where people doubt everything is certain. In fact, there are people who believe that there are no things that are absolutely true. And so the Apostles' Creed offers us a radical challenge to the skeptical world because we say, we believe, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus, Christ is the only Son of our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit and down and down and down. And so it stands as an important corrective to a me-centered theology in our day. The creed reminds us that truth is not optional, that there are boundaries to the Christian faith, and not everything is negotiable. Some things you must believe in order to be called a Christian. And so, the history of the Apostle Creed, where did it all start? Well, creed, the name creed, the word creed, comes from the Latin word credum. And what that means literally is, I believe. I believe. Originally, the Apostles' Creed was a written document, and it was used for liturgy for baptism. So when someone was baptized, they would ask these questions. Even today, when we baptize an infant or an adult, we ask them, do you reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sins? Do you trust in Christ? All this stuff. And so for the early church, they asked questions like, do you believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? And they would say, yes. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? And they'd say, yes. And so they would go through this as a way, as a liturgy for baptism. And so from these questions, the Apostle Creed was developed, and it was given to us in its current form. So the question becomes, what does the Apostle Creed have to do with the modern church? Why is it important? And I'm glad you asked that question, because maybe you wonder what's the whole thing about the Apostles' Creed. Maybe you wonder why is it even practical in a world where will the truth impact? And the answer is found in the very first phrase. I believe. I believe. That is a powerful statement. It's not I know or I think or I feel. It says I believe. That makes it a personal commitment to the truth. In Romans chapter 1:16, we read the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And then in Romans 10:9-10, it adds believe in your hearts. See, salvation depends on what you and I believe. And that's why the gospel in John declares, listen to this, declares over 80 times that salvation comes to those who believe. 80 times. In a sense, we are what we believe. We are what we believe. So, there's a formula to belief. And it starts with behavior. Well, where do our behaviors come from? Well, they come from our feelings. How we're feeling. Well, where do our feelings come from? Well, they come from our attitudes. Well, where do our attitudes come from? Well, they come from our values. And put them all together, it all circles back to belief. There is a formula to it. Trace it far back enough, it always comes back to the same place. You are what you believe. What you believe determines your destiny. In 1999, the world was rocked by the news that John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife, and Carolyn's sister, his wife Carolyn and his sister, all perished in a nighttime flight that John F. Kennedy Jr. was making his way back to his home in Massachusetts. Though Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he had not yet been approved for flying by instrument only when flying at nighttime. And when their takeoff was delayed until dark, Kennedy, he should have spent the night. He should have went when it was daylight or sought an experienced pilot. But Kennedy, he took off into the darkness. And as we all know, the plane never reached its destination. And investigators believe that the crash was likely caused by disorientation for flying over open water without any visible landmark on the horizon. Kennedy's lack of experience may well have led for him to trust what he was seeing rather than what the instruments were telling him, what his controls were telling him on the plane. You know, all of us face a temptation to walk according to sight instead of faith. But faith in God will keep us from crashing. Human reason will fail us at times, but the truth is God never will fail us. And his word keeps us on the right track as long as we obey. So, the importance of the Apostles' Creed. Let's move on to the first person that was mentioned in the Apostles' Creed. Today we're going to be talking about God the Father. And right off the bat, the Apostles, they began with a confession that I believe in God the Father. Right away, that separates us from those who believe that God is an impersonal force or someone who created everything and then left. God the Father is a real person who we express real faith that we have a relationship with and that we are one of his children. So what kind of father is God the Father? Well, God the Father what kind of father is God? First, God is the Father in relation to the Son. That's the mystery of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus, but in the New Testament, it reveals Jesus. And the nature of the Trinity is a mystery not revealed this side of eternity, but at its core, what the Trinity is all about is that it is a circle of love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Most of what we know about God the Father is by looking to Jesus the Son. And so, Jesus is the visual representation of God. What he did, what he said, points us to God. Jesus said that the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I and the Father are one. So the relationship between Jesus and the Father determines the kind of relationship we long for. Jesus, he was secure in the love of his Father. And twice in John's Gospel, Jesus says the Father loves the Son. So Jesus and his Father were always on the same page. Whatever Jesus said, he said what the Father said to him. So, and here's the truth, that God is not only the Father of Jesus, but he is our Father as well. He is our Father as well, our Heavenly Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus is God, our Father. And of course, we're not sons in the sense that Jesus was, but rather, we are adopted children of God. We are adopted children of God. So we are brought into the family through adoption. That's what John 1, 12 through 13 says. To all who receive, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or of a husband will, but born of God. Maybe you've heard the phrase, well, we're all children of God. But the truth is that not everyone, we're made in God's image, but not everyone is a child of God. You see, it says, rights become children of God. Well, how do we become a child of God? It's only when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior that we are one of his children. And so we are made in God's image, but we are not all God's children. See, when we look at the world that's around us, and we wonder whether anyone can actually fix the world. We look at Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, recession, national debts, a broken political system, a shifting culture that seems unstable in the direction it's going, and fewer children that have stable homes. Can God fix the world? And the answer is in the opening statement, I believe in God the Almighty. I believe in God the Almighty, meaning that God can do anything. He is the Almighty. As Isaiah 40 verse 23 says, he brings princes to naught and reduces rulers of this world to nothing. God can do anything and everything. He is Almighty. And God is in control. Maybe for you, that's a question that you have as you're dealing with cancer. Or you look at an empty chair across the room that your loved one used to sit in. Or your child is headed in a wrong direction and there's nothing you can do that makes him go back on the right. And you feel the tension in the kitchen or the office or in the world. Our Father God is not throwing up his hands and saying, what am I to do? He's Almighty. As Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. It's not too short to save. Honestly, when we look at the world, it's easy to believe that God is not in control, but he is. And so the greatest proof for us Christians is the fact that many years ago, a person who was God in the flesh was crucified on the cross. And darkness thought they had won the day, but rather it was by Jesus dying on the cross that we are saved from our sins, forgiven, and giving hope. And the powers of darkness shuddered when the tomb that was full became empty and Jesus walked out with the scars on his hands and victory over death. So, what does the Apostles' Creed mean for us? What does all this have to do with us? Well, my hope is that it gives you three things. When we recite the Apostles' Creed, when we say these words, I hope that one, it gives you confidence. It gives you confidence when you face adversity. Matt Chandler, pastor in Dallas and a leader of Acts 29 movement, at the age of 35, he was diagnosed with an aggressive form of brain cancer. This happened a while ago. And it required surgery. And he admitted on the news these words. He says, while this surprised me, this did not surprise God. And he's not in a panic right now, trying to figure out what to do next with me or the disease. This is the confident faith in God, the Father Almighty. It gives confidence. But secondly, it gives courage. It gives us courage. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested. They were brought before the Sanhedrin. Why? Because they were preaching about Jesus. And they didn't like that. They didn't like the fact that they thought they killed him and put him in the grave, but here he is, and they're confessing that he is alive. And so they order them not to speak about Jesus any longer, and yet Peter and them were courageous, and they said, we can only do what God calls us to do. I can't do what you're asking, but I only do what God is calling us to do. So with these truths, we can be courageous. We can step out in faith, even when the world seems like it's against us. And number three, this is a personal statement. You ever wonder why the Apostles' Creed doesn't say, we believe? Why doesn't it say, let me confess this, that we believe in Jesus Christ, in God the Father, in the Holy Spirit. We believe this. Why didn't it say we instead of I? And the answer is very simple. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. A parent can't believe for their child. A child can't believe for their parents. We can't believe for the President of the United States, and the President of the United States can't believe for us. It's everyone, and on that truth, we must make our own personal declaration. It's a community joined together by their common faith in one person, in one God, and the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the church for over 2,000 years has affirmed the Apostles' Creed, because it expresses our faith in a powerful way. So, I want to end with this thought for you. I want you to think about this. As Christian is a person who truly believes in Jesus, the question I want to leave with you is, do you believe? Can you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, or I believe in God the Father? I want you to think about that as we go through this week, because eternity hangs on your answer. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, how I thank you so very much that you are our Father, and that, Lord, you make ways where there is no way. And Father, I thank you for the Apostles' Creed, who were more like the Three Stooges in many ways than they were the powerful apostles. But, Lord, you saw in them something that was bigger than where they were at that moment. And Father, you see something in us as well. And so we confess that you are Lord, Savior, and by what you've done on the cross for us, that we have the hope of the world. Guide us in all that we do, Father, and help us to live out these truths and to share them with other people. I thank you so very much for all of this, and I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you are able, would you please rise and let us sing together our closing hymn and the Speak By and By. It's not in the hymnal, but it's a good one. It's a good one. So if you know it, sing along. If not, let's just enjoy together, okay? Again, we thank you that all things are possible and work in and through you. And I thank you, Lord, that nothing is too difficult for you. Father, in a world that seems that everything is upside down, may you be the force within us to say, nope, you are greater than anything that comes before us. And I pray, Lord, that that truth would shine forth and that you give us your peace in all things, that those who love as a stranger may find the home that they so desperately need. I pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.